Kanye, where's that album? Where's the album? You can't do this to your new Christian fans. Us white people, us Christian white people aren't used to this. We're used to punctuality, on time, dates being kept. Where's this album? I've been checking my Spotify account like every hour for all of Monday. And I'm sure as this is coming out on Tuesday, all of Tuesday, you got to release it, man. There's too much anxiety. I'm just kidding. It is pretty interesting to see how Kanye is stretching this out and making the most of it. It is truly amazing to watch him brand and market this. Really, really cool. It's a great case study for you marketers out there, for those people looking to figure out how to build hype, how to leverage hype, how to maintain hype. He does such a good job of it. This is How to Build a Tent. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to the show, sharing the show with a friend. You can email me, matt@howtobuildatent.com. You can find me on the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. I really appreciate you guys reaching out to me. If you want to give me any show topic suggestions, anything you want me to cover, any articles, send them my way. I'd love to hear of what you would like me to talk about. I also love to hear about what's going on in your life. And if there's any way I can help, I'd be more than happy to do that. That's why I do the shows, for your help, so that I can help bless you guys and we can all be successful together. After all, we are in a spiritual battle for our lives, for other people's lives. And all of these things, our businesses, our startups, our finances, our podcast, these are all tactics to the overall strategy of winning this war. We are part of the Fight, Laugh, Feast Network. Another way you can help support us get in the fight, laugh, and feast. You can go over to fightlaughfeast.com, put in HTPT in a memo field to get a mug. You will get a pint glass, and you'll get tons of great content. Tomorrow night is the debut of Reform Jellicle with AD Robles and myself. I'm really excited about that. Get in on it right now for the month, and you can get the special offer, $2 a month for the rest of the time that you subscribe. You can be part of our show, join in real time. Got our book study. What is it called? Book club. Yeah, Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. It's also in the show notes. You can check that out. Please join us for that. Negotiation is a great tool to have in your back pocket. And I think that's it. And we can go on our way. One of the topics that somebody actually reached out to me about was talking about MoviePass. And this is actually interesting and not interesting in one sense to me. It's interesting because I don't understand how the CEO of MoviePass could have made such a tragic decision. It's profoundly amazing to me. On the other hand, it's not interesting because it's predictable. It was totally predictable what could have happened with MoviePass. There was no mystery in it. A little timeline. Basically, they're going the way of Napster. They were founded in 2011, and it looks like they're going to be going out of business or have gone out of business. And basically, they've transformed the movie industry, and that's about all that they're going to have in their trophy case. 2011, they came out with a $40 a month subscription for any movie in the theater, and they got about 20,000 customers, which, you know, that's pretty good. And that really appealed to people that like to see movies. Just as a side note, I hate going to see movies because I hate groups of people. And you'd be like, you're a Christian. How can you hate people? I don't hate people. I hate people together in groups. And I'm only saying that half kidding. People in movie theaters become animals, uncivilized animals. I don't understand it. I don't understand how you could be so rude, inconsiderate. The last time I went to a movie and I was done, this lady across the row from me picked up her phone and started talking, not texting, which is bad enough because the light's blowing up the whole movie theater, but starts a conversation, an audio conversation during the movie theater. Excuse me. During the movie. Couldn't believe it. Anyways, so they got 20,000 customers back to MoviePass. $40 a month, pretty good. A little bit pricey, though. I don't know too many people that are dropping $40 a month on movies. And then Mitch Lowe became the CEO, and he had this brilliant idea. let's just cut prices. That will grow our customer base. And you know what? Sure enough, he was right. When you lower prices, demand goes up for the product. 3 million people signed up. The problem with this was the price point they were at, break even was one movie. So if you went to go see more than one movie in a month, the company started losing money. Now, what happens when you buy a movie pass? What happens when you buy the movie pass and you can go for as many movies as you want, you won't be charged more? Well, you go to more movies. Even if you normally would go to just one or two movies a month, well, when it's free or when it doesn't cost anymore for the additional movies you go to, you're going to start going to a lot more movies. Why not? Why wouldn't you? And that's what simple supply and demand, the basics of economics, teaches us. The lower the price, the higher demand, the less that people are going to be willing to supply at that price. It's very simple. It's very simple. It's two lines, two straight lines. Anyone who's a CEO needs to understand that. And I don't understand how you could be a CEO and not understand how this basic free market principle works. It's what you learned in freshman year of college. Anyways, Mitch Lowe didn't understand that. And the MoviePass company started losing $21 million a month. And as a result, they're going out of business. And AMC, who is a movie theater, I'm pretty sure AMC is across the country, right? I mean, they were in California. I'm pretty sure they were in Hawaii when I was there. Again, I don't see movies anymore. You could blame it to the phone call lady. But they are around. And they what they did is they took it and they owned it themselves. And that's how they revolutionized the business. Just like Napster did with music. Napster, lawsuits, went out of business, couldn't figure out how to be profitable and to maintain their profitability and maintain their revenue and all that stuff through all the legality. But somebody took it over and started doing things like Pandora, Spotify, and figured out a way to leverage the technology, to use the innovative ideas, and to navigate in the framework and with the music industry as a whole. And AMC now is doing that. So there, rest in peace, MoviePass. You had a decent run, and you've reminded us all the importance of understanding basic economics in a free market economy. The last thing I wanted to talk about today is something that the CrossPolitik guys are talking about a little bit. They're talking about polling and how polls are used to shape opinion. That is their number one job, especially right now when they are taking polls about elections, the hypothetical election of this candidate or that candidate. Would you vote for Trump? Would you not vote for Trump in 2020? This far out, those polls absolutely mean nothing, but they also mean everything. And Toby made a great point about this when he said polls are used to shape public opinion. And that is absolutely true. Another way the media use another tool the media uses to shape public opinion is headlines. So they use polls and they use headlines. And headlines are extremely effective because a majority of people do not read the articles. Bloomberg is great at this. They have fantastic shaping, sentiment shaping headlines. And then they put the article behind a paywall so you can't even read it unless you pay for it. And so who knows if what the headline is conveying is accurate or not, because most of us don't subscribe to Bloomberg to find out. And it gets retweeted, it gets shared, it gets screenshotted, and it gets put in your memory. And this is the most dangerous thing about the human memory is context. We can usually remember a fact, some of us can, but not often can we remember the context of it. So we don't know if it was, like, we can remember a fact. For example, like the moon is made out of cheese. And we'll remember somebody said that. And if it's not as ridiculous as the moon's made out of cheese, we will think of it as a truth. Although we might have heard it on SNL where they were making a joke, or we might have heard it on a comedy sketch on Netflix. We don't know where we've heard it from. So we might see a headline, like something from Bloomberg, not know if it's true or not, but there's the fact of itself will be implanted in our head and we'll remember it. Oh, I think this is something that was true. And you get it like, oh, I remember hearing this somewhere and I don't remember where. It's because our brains are terrible at remembering context. So keep that in mind as you are talking about things where you are saying you know some fact from authoritative figures. Is if you don't remember the source, you don't remember the fact. That's really important. If you don't remember the source, you don't remember the fact. Because you don't know what that was trying to be communicated by that fact. You don't know what data was supported to portray that fact. It could be bent. It can be slanted. It can be spun. There's tons of ways that miscommunication could have happened intentionally or unintentionally. So you need to remember the sources as well. And if you don't remember the source, just Google it. If you remember the fact, you can Google the fact, and then I'm sure tons of sources will come up. Okay, but I want to just run through these headlines real quick. We're already running out of time. This is one from Bloomberg. Bottom half of the world owns less than 1% of adults. Bottom half of the world owns less than 1% of the wealth. Capitalism and free markets are being challenged by the left and the right. What are the solutions? So a bottom half of the world owns less than 1% of the wealth. And Bloomberg, in their headline, says capitalism and free markets are being challenged by the left and right. Now, there's one big problem with this, and I'm just going to point out and then move on. The whole world isn't capitalist. See, the beginning of the headline was bottom half of the world owns less than 1%, but the whole world isn't capitalist. There's this like country that is 1/6 of the world's population called China. They're communist dictators that are state run. Kind of gets in the way of this little headline, but yet Bloomberg has an agenda. They don't care about capitalism being successful or not. They want you to think capitalism is a failure and needs to be rethought, paving the way for the left to come crashing in on Trump's economy. See, these are all geared to make you think the economy is not doing so well, that the world's in trouble, because that's one of the strongest drivers going for Trump. The economy doing well is one of the best predictors of Trump being reelected. Second headline, U.S. consumer sentiment improved in late September while remaining subdued after an August plunge, reflecting persistent unease over trade tension. Again, Bloomberg. It's not just U.S. consumer sentiment improved in late September. That would be good enough for a headline. That would tell you all that you needed to know. But there always has to be this trailing negativity to it while remaining subdued after an August plunge. Remember the plunge. Remember it. Because you'll remember the last thing. And Bloomberg wants you to have a negative outlook on the economy. Because again, it's the number one predictor of Trump's being reelected. On a market watch, Market Watch sentiment rebounds in September, but Americans more anxious. See, it's not just good enough that we're rebounding, but Americans are more anxious. Oh, we're anxious? Oh, I better be anxious. Everyone else is anxious. I better be anxious. Last one, and I don't remember where this was from, so I apologize for that. Few realizations would dent Donald Trump's fragile ego more than learning Chinese officials have a superior grasp of economics than the art of the deal president. This was a headline. Okay, one more. It's down. Understanding the consumer sentiment. I forgot where I saw this one. This was a tweet. They were like, consumer confidence is down. It's down from 134.2 to 133.5. It's down. Everyone, freak out. The problem is the index is set to 100. So anything above 100s means that it's positive. Anything above 100 is positive. It's at 133.5. So not that it still remains strong or it is down a little bit, but it's this big, it's down. We're losing because consumer confidence is crashing. It's tanking. It's tanking. We're anxious. There was a plunge last month. We're barely recovering. Free market capitalism is under assault. We're being questioned because of this wealth disparity gap, this wage gap, the wealth gap is getting bigger and bigger. And I'm just going to say this before we close. We want a wealth gap in a private economy, in a free market economy. We want a wage gap. because not everyone produces the equal amount of value. Not everyone contributes to our communities with the equal amount of value. Companies, individuals, we want the people with the most contributions to our society, the most value given to us, to have the most money. And we want the people that provide the least or none at all or take away to have none. That's how economies, that's how societies, that's how cities, and that's how our community becomes richer, by rewarding those who provide more value. Go out, be one of those people, be successful. We'll talk to you tomorrow.